in the book of Hebrews, and beginning in verse chapter 5. We're going to read the whole chapter, then we're going to come back and cover it. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity? And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh his honor to himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. I'm going to very quickly say that when Melchizedek is mentioned a couple verses up, he immediately goes from Melchizedek and begins to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ again. Christ is after the order of Melchizedek. We're stopping there. We're not going to go any deeper than that. Then he begins to immediately begin to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ again. He's not talking about Melchizedek necessarily there. Look at verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after, again, the order of Melchizedek. Now, here's where we're going to pick up. Of whom? Of who? Of Melchizedek, of Christ. The same thing. I want to go into this, Paul the Apostle is beginning saying. I want to go into some things that's a little bit meatier than it is of milk. But you're not ready. That's what he's saying here in verse 11. This is what we're going to cover today. Where do we stand? Where do we stand? And I can find my own self from verse 11 to verse 14 if I'm not careful. Now let's look here. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing, here's the reason why, ye are dull of hearing. The problem is not your aptitude, it's your attitude, is what he's saying. He says, I have many things about the riches of Christ. In fact, this dissertation in verse 1 through verse 10 is a rich, deep dissertation. There's a lot of things that we can learn about the priesthood of Christ on the behalf of the believer through the fact that, number one, Christ was a type or after the order of Melchizedek. And there's a lot of things that can be learned, Paul the Apostle, saying to the Hebrews Christians. He said, but you're not ready. You're dull of hearing. And they'll continue on reading. He says, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let's pray and we'll go and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a tiny babe, as we think about this time of year, who came and lived in human flesh, was fully God and fully man, faced all temptation that men faced, but he was without sin, was that sinless, perfect sacrifice for our sin. Help us this morning as we come to the Word of God to not only hear the Word of God, but heed and be moved and changed where we need to be heeded, where we need to heed, be moved and changed. We'll be careful to praise you. Thank you for what you do. Your Holy Spirit works with us. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Here's where we are. We've got four things that these Hebrew Christians had gotten into a state of. They'd gone from, you have to remember, this is the first generation church. These are a lot of Jewish people, Hebrew professing Christians. And more than likely, you're going to have some Hebrews here that very well could have been at the day of Pentecost when it took place. They were Christians who were saved. Some of them were probably been saved now for almost 30 years, been into things, that heard all the things of Christ, and some of them still were desiring to walk away from what they'd already heard. That's why I say they were professing Hebrew Christians, not always possessing Hebrew Christians. There's some who believe, and we've talked about that, that one can lose their salvation. I don't believe one can lose their salvation. We're going to talk about that a little bit next week. We're going to review that from Hebrews chapter 6. But there are some who profess to know Christ, but in works they deny Him. You know what I mean? And when one professes to know Christ, but they don't possess Christ as their personal Savior, they're not personally trusted Him. The Bible teaches us, like it does in the book of James, that their profession is going to tell on them, because the deeds that they end up doing is going to tell on them. In other words, it doesn't take much to know what somebody is by simply continue to watch them, amen, and to observe them. And a true Christian is going to carry out in his life, at the end, you're going to see the fruits of the Holy Spirit working in his life. And someone who is not a true Christian, who is a professor, and the Bible talks about it in the book of Titus, in the book of James. You talk about in these end days, in the days of the church, it's going to be full of apostasy and false prophets and false Christ and antichrist. Well, how do we tell the difference between that which is a professor and a possessor? Well, it's by your fruits ye shall know them. Scripture teaches that we can see the fruit of another Christian or a person who claims to know Christ and know whether they're the genuine article or not. Now, I've gotten in trouble before by saying things like that. Well, you shouldn't say that. You're not the judge. No, I'm not the judge. I'm not the one who casts judgment upon you, as Christ is going to do that, right? Either in the great white throne judgment or in the judgment seat of Christ, where every man will give an account of himself to God. We're all going to. It's not my business to say you're either condemned or not condemned. God will straighten that out. But I can look upon the fruits of someone and say, well, you know what? I've got an alarm bell going on here because of the certain doctrine or certain work that this person's doing. So that's the situation we're in. We have Christians, Hebrews, some professors and some possessors, ready to the professors ready to leave because they've not adhered to. They're professing to know Christ. They don't possess Christ. Then we have other Christians who should be growing and they're not growing. And they have the wrong attitude. Let's talk about that this morning, number one. This church that has the wrong attitude, this church of Hebrew brethren. Verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Beloved, have you ever done this? Shame on us when we do. It's so easy in Christian life if we don't guard our hearts and minds to say, we'll endure Sunday school, you know, we'll endure another service, and we'll go through the motions, and we'll hear the word spoken by pastor, we'll hear the word spoken by the one who teaches the word of God, but it doesn't excite us anymore. We're not looking forward to learning anything from God. It's as if we just become dull. And that's a danger. For Christians, it's a danger for mature Christians. Christians who do know the Lord, Christians who do not possess the Lord Jesus Christ, who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, there's still a danger in being dull of hearing. What kind of Christian are we? This makes me think about this church. You know, to whom much has been given, much shall be required, Scripture tells us. Christ Himself, looking at the area of where He was from and Capernaum and all of that, around that whole area on that lake one day, he says, he gave them warning. He's so taken aback about their apathetic attitude towards the truth that he says to them, oh Capernaum, he says, you're going to face judgment. Woe unto you. Because if this thing had been done in another place, talking about his miracles, if it had been done somewhere else, they would have believed a long time ago. It was unbelief there. And we can understand that with much blessing that we've been given, there's much responsibility. And we as Christians have a greater responsibility, but it's so easy to become dull of hearing. Sometimes it's a personality issue. And if you're hung up on personality, I like that person's personality. It's not necessarily the personality that matters. It's the truth of the Word of God that's been given. It's the precepts of the Word of God that's been given. And Paul the Apostle, on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, seems to stop right in the middle of this dissertation that's deep, it's meaty, it has some weight to it, to these Christians who have been saved, many of them, for many years. And he says, I want to go into this, but it's like he can see right through them. And he says, you're not ready. You're dull of hearing. Your attitude is wrong. And every time, it's a great danger, beloved, that we don't become Christians whose attitude becomes what it not ought to be. It's so simple. You know, I know the cares of the world eat us down, right? We come in, I have to guard it. Myself, personally, I must guard this thing. When I've worked, say in the middle of a service, worked in the middle of the week, and I've driven long hours, and I've worked somewhere, and I've driven long hours back, and I'm getting to church just in time or late, and I'm tired. And then the pastor gets up there, and if I'm not careful, you know what I hear? I hear like Charlie Brown hears the teachers, wah, 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 wah. Why is that? Is that the teacher's fault? No, it's my dull. I've become dull of hearing. So when we approach the Word of God, our approach to the Word of God is, Lord, please help me to become sensitive. Make me aware of Thy Holy Spirit's presence. And as I'm made aware of Thy Holy Spirit's presence, I will not become apathetic to Thy Word as it's taught. And that's what Paul the Apostle is saying. He says, I have so much meaty things for you. But number one, your attitude is wrong. You're dull of hearing. Number two, let's continue to read on. I will begin verse 11 again. Of whom ye have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. For verse 12, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. What's he saying here? Number two, he says, you're ought to be a teacher and you're not. You ought to be a teacher and you're not. Your altitude is wrong. Where you are in your Christian life, you ought to be a teacher. By the way, this is the class that we ought to take a challenge, that we should be teaching and giving to the younger generation that's below us and coming behind us, because that younger generation needs instruction. And here's the second thing that's been said. He's saying, ye ought to be teachers, but he's saying this, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Now let us continue on. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. He says, ye ought to be something that you're not. You ought to be more mature than you're not, but now your development is not what it needs to be. Let's say this morning, we sang some, I like singing the little songs, Sunday school songs. Do you like doing that? I like singing those things. But we would have a problem if that's all we did. Pastor would hand me the class and I'd say, okay, let's sing This Little Light of Mine again. Now that might be fun for a while, and I like to sing it to older generation saints who are too good to sing Sunday school songs. That's why I like to do it. But we don't have that problem here, do we? We love to sing with Pastor when he does that. But what if I did that every Sunday? And then I said, okay, now let's have snack time. And Brother Tom, you come pass out cookies to this side. And Brother Bill, you come pass out cookies to this side. And Brother Ross, you pass out the milk. And we did that every Sunday. Would there be a problem pretty soon? We weren't gaining it. We'd be gaining weight. But we wouldn't be maturing in the Lord, would we? We wouldn't be getting the Word of God. What if we went to like Miss Rachel's class? She teaches kindergarten, I believe. And I said, okay, from now on in Sunday school, we've got a good 30, 35 minutes. Bring your mat for a nap. I mean, that's what Paul the Apostle is trying to get across to these people. He's simply saying your altitude's not what it's supposed to be. He's saying to them, you ought to be teachers and you're not. And by the way, we should be teachers. Let's go to Titus chapter 2, please, in the New Testament. The Titus Christian. And I want to encourage you, if we're growing in the Lord and we're becoming what we should be, then we ought to be teachers. Titus chapter 2. Is that in the Old Testament or the New Testament? I'm having trouble again. 1 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. It's in the New Testament. Thank you very much. Here we go. Verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now, notice with me that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Now, notice what it says. It's very interesting to me. What comes next? Now, it mentions the ladies. And it says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine. What's the next word, class? Teachers of good things. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, the same thing, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Here's the instruction for the older men. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. What are we to be doing with what we've done? What's our altitude? That's the question next that comes to a mature Christian who's been saved. Am I doing everything God has designed for me to do? There's a proper order to think. Also, in another passage of Scripture, that which thou hast learned of me, Paul tells Timothy. And you have to excuse me because I lost my nose. But he says, the same commit to faithful men who'll be able to teach others also. And you'll find that in the book of Timothy, I believe. There's a precept. There are Christians who've been saved for 20, 30, 40 years who've not developed in their Christian life, and they ought to be developed in their Christian life, because their altitude is not right. They ought to be able to soar like an eagle should soar, like a mama eagle teaches her young eagles to fly. She'll put them both, one or two of those little eaglets, one at a time. She'll take that eaglet on her wings, and she'll begin to fly way up high. And she'll begin to teach them by throwing them off. And there they go, way down. You know what? That the aged people, those who have been seasoned with the Lord for some time, they ought to understand what it is to fly with the Lord, to live by faith, to not be upset about everything that comes along. You know what I mean? It's easy for circumstances to knock us out of place sometimes. But we ought to be those who are teaching others and saying, somehow I want to make an impact on the generation to follow, so they can turn around and make an impact on that generation to follow them, so they can make an impact on the generation to follow them. By the way, I thank God that someone has. Amen? I'm thankful for that, because I heard the truth. And now my son and my daughter are hearing the truth, because someone was faithful to teach. Now, if this classroom stops that, it'll stop soon. What one generation does, I've heard, in moderation, the next generation will do in excess. And that's on both sides of the spectrum. If we neglect the Word of God in moderation, our children even think, oh, shame on me. Amen? God help us. Amen? Amen. Set by the grace of God, Lord help us to be teachers also. That's what Paul the Apostle is saying here in the book of Hebrews. He's simply saying, your attitude is wrong. He's saying your altitude is wrong. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews again. There's another thing that I want us to learn here that we can look at. It says your appetite is wrong. Well, why can't they have the right altitude? Because their appetite is not what it needs to be. Let's look at the comparison here in verse 12. And are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Notice there's a direct metaphorical comparison. Milk and meat, right? We have that. Now let's look at the next verse. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. Now we talked about being in the kindergarten class, and we talked about that kind of thing. But now let's talk about the appetite. Not just the altitude we should be at. We should be teachers. But there's also an appetite that we have. And that appetite is either milk or meat. You know, do we want to just continue toast Christians? Is that our desire? I know Christians who aren't mature. They're new Christians. God bless them. I'm thankful for them. They've been saved maybe 6 months, or they got right with the Lord, and all been walking with the Lord for 6 months or 7 months or 8 months. And they feed on the milk of the Word of God, and that's fine. Milk's okay, right? Someone asked me, Brother Dennis, I think it was, asked me, look at that word milk. What's that word milk mean? In the Greek definition that's given from Strong's Concordance, it means an uncertain affinity. Does that help you understand what milk is? What's that mean? Well, I looked up the word affinity, and it means a relationship. Well, I looked up that word relationship. I looked at the basic word of that word affinity, and it means border. Uncertain borders. As a opposing, also in a mathematical term, how many of you have ever heard the term to infinity and beyond? There's no end to where we can go. An affinity is within a border. I have a family. There's only certain members of my family. You have to either be married in my family or be born in my family, right? Same thing goes to you. There's a border that goes around that. What's he saying? You can have either the milk or the word of God. There's a limit to it. You limit yourself. You limit your intake. You only go so far. And it's milk. And I love the fact that Christ died for us. And a lot of people are thankful for their salvation. But that they stop there. We should always be grateful for what Christ has done for us. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Always. Don't misunderstand me. But Paul the Apostle is doing the same thing to these Hebrew Christians who have heard the truth, have been under the preaching of the Word of God for 30 plus years, and they're still drinking milk. And they should be teachers, but they're not. And he's saying to them, it's time to get off milk. Now, my daughter Kelsey, 17. Now, she likes to throw down a steak every once in a while, right? Like Dad. One of our favorite things we do at our house is when it's summertime, Keaton has now taken over the responsibilities of cooking the steak at our house. You're welcome to come if you wanted to taste of that sometime. Now, that sounds dangerous, doesn't it? But it's really not. He's pretty good at it because I taught him how. Honestly. And so I say, son, go fire up the charcoals, and he goes and fires them up. I said, throw the steaks on there. Most of the time it's poor man's steak, pork steak. Amen. But we throw it on there. And I've taught him how to turn it over and how to take it. Once it's brown on both sides, you put it up and you let it smoke. You don't let it sit there and dry out. You let that vapor, you let the smoke get up there and get in that meat, get that flavor there. Kelsey and Keaton both like steak. And I like steak, and Lisa likes steak. Now, that's good, isn't it? But what if we had those cookouts, and every time we had these cookouts, I'd say, Kelsey, you want a steak? No, Dad, I think I'll just have a glass of milk. And she pop a bottle of her. Well, you know, you're old enough not to drink out of a bottle. You know that, right? Oh, I just like milk. That's what's happening across many churches across our country. We have this milk, excuse me, I don't mean to be unkind when I say this, but it's a milquetoast Christianity where nobody's learning anything. They don't dare go beyond the fact that Christ died for all men and a salvation is offered to all. Because if they did, there would be some changes, because the Word of God desires that we grow. Amen? Desires that we change. Desires that our walk change. I enjoy babies. I enjoy watching these little babies toddle around. Yesterday I went to visitation meeting and went with Brother Jeff Reiser's group and met with them yesterday morning. And it's funny to see, is it Libby? She's already getting her own little temperamental spirit going on. Max was trying to help her take off her coat and get up and put, so she could get up in her high chair and have her breakfast. She wasn't having anything to do with that. Why? They're temperamental. Why? Because she's not matured yet. Because she's still learning. She's in a learning process. But a lot of Christians are still in the learning process who ought not be in the learning process. They ought to be in the teaching process. Let's see, out of memory, if I can remember. I don't think I can because I have the notes there. But remember when Paul the Apostle to the church in Corinth, either in 1st or 2nd Corinthians, he said, you have fighting among yourselves. There's strife and envy and variance and emulation among yourself. Are ye not carnal? Don't you walk as babes when you ought to be strengthened and upheld and walking the way you should walk? Like he said to the Ephesian Christians around Ephesians chapter 5, I think towards the end of the chapter, he says, that you may, he says, here's my desire for you. Maybe chapter 2. My desire for you is that you may know what is the height and depth and breadth and length. And he continues to go on. And the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul the Apostle is trying to also say here in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God in Hebrews. He's trying to say to you, there is so much we can learn. Hebrew Christian. 30 years saved, 20 years saved, but you're not ready. Your attitude's not right. Your appetite's not right. Your altitude is not right. Then the fourth thing we'll see here, verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who are reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Your apprehension's not right. Look at that word, discern both good and evil. We live in a discernless class of people. As far as those who claim the name of Christ. One place we had opportunity to be used, similar to we're used here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank God for that. Teaching Sunday school class, and I had a man who's been saved for many years, deacon in a church, has children now that are adults. Independent Baptist Church, before we ever went to that area of the country, I called the pastor and I said, what do you believe about this? What do you believe about this? What do you believe about this? Because I didn't know. He gave me the right answers. Praise the Lord. You know, maybe we can get in here and be a blessing while the Lord has us here at this place. The deacon of that church came to me and says, I got a question for you. I don't know why he asked me this. I don't know if I was even mentioned it yet. What do you believe about my adult son and his wife getting with all of his adult friends and their wives and getting in the pool together and swimming together? I was dumbfounded. Independent Baptist Church, he'd asked me that. So I went and got him a sermon on the issue. I left it out. I said, here's a sermon on the issue. I believe where this sermon believes. I believe that because I wasn't the pastor of that church. But the man asked me, and so I told him what I believed. And I told the pastor that I told him what I believed. because I was trying to be responsible, not be subversive to that pastor. And so I did. You know, they made light of that in little bitty phrases from there. I guess the children found out what I believed about it. Eventually, I was allowed to speak about it. The Lord gave me liberty later on, a year or so down the road, to speak about it. That's just one instance. That's just one example. It's just one that came to mind. But my thought process was this. You've been saved how many years and you don't have the discernment to know the difference between what's right and wrong?
Yes, sir.
To know that it's wrong for a man to go and even put himself in a position where he looked at another woman? And lust after. It's a dangerous thing. And it's hard enough as it is in this old world, right, gentlemen? For people who call the children of God to get together and live like the devil. What's happening to our generation? We've lost what's called discernment. We don't know anymore. Our apprehension of what things are supposed to be are not what they should be. And we know things are right to do and not right to do and right and wrong. And there's very little, if any, there's no gray matter with the Bible. Thus saith the Lord. You know, that's what it says. But we have a generation of Christians. I have another dear friend. He's not ever been an independent Baptist. And I pray that he would be. I've given him information about independent Baptist in his area. He lives in Cincinnati. I worked for him the summer before Lisa and I got married. He knows the Lord and says, I've trusted the Lord. And he's caught up in a Pentecostal movement where they don't believe in eternal security of the believer. But every time he talks to me, that becomes his topic of conversation. But he talked to me about his four sons, and all four of them, except for one who's unmarried, has married a Catholic girl. It's tragic. Why? Because across America, we've taken away the ability for us to apprehend the Word of God and apply it properly as we should. We don't know how to discern good and evil. Why? Paul the Apostle gives the reason. Because you're still on milk, and you need to be on meat. You ought to be teaching others, but you're not that way. Because your attitude's wrong, your appetite's wrong, therefore your altitude's wrong. Because your altitude's wrong, you don't know what's right and what's wrong. Your apprehension of the Word of God's wrong. What we as Christians should be doing is wrong. And this is our challenge to all of us. To me, it's a personal challenge. Believe me, dear beloved, I'm hit right in between the eyeballs. This is a personal challenge. These last four or five verses here in chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews. For me to be what I need to be. Because I have a responsibility that follows behind me. The preaching, 40 years from now, was it going to be just as strong as it is today? It will be if we do our job. It's a challenge, isn't it? What a challenge from God's Word. And I'm not arrived, not as though I'd already obtained, but I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May the Lord help us. Amen. Amen. To be what we need to be. We're going to get to Melchizedek, but we're not ready for it yet. We got to grow up a little bit, right? That's what he's saying in the Hebrews. We're going to get there. Next week, let's look at something real quick and we'll be dismissed. Chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. There are those who use this passage of Scripture to say we can lose our salvation. But actually, this passage of Scripture teaches the opposite. It does. It teaches the complete opposite of what they will tell us. And they use this passage of Scripture to bring it about. And we'll talk about that next week, Lord willing. Amen? And I'm so grateful. Thank you. I'll be with you next Sunday morning, and I hope you have a good Christmas. And how many are ready for everything? How many have got all your shopping done? Not New Year, it's not Christmas Eve yet. I haven't started. So that's the way I usually do it. My wife is looking at me with a very fun. She'll get something, you know, a little reindeer hat or something. But I hope you have a good Christmas. I hope you have a good week and that the Lord will bless us. Amen. Let's pray for one another's health, and pray the Lord just keeps us healthy right through all of this. Amen. Pastor's excited, gentlemen, by the way, about something that we're having a meeting tonight. Gentlemen, let's do our part. Every gentleman in here that's a member of this church ought to be in that meeting tonight, 6:15. Because he's called for it and he's excited about some things. And we need to be there because we're the ones that's teaching the generation to follow. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us, mercy and grace to us. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you loved us. Oh, how you loved us so much that you gave your only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you loved us not only to change us and to save us, but you loved us so we can continue things that we have learned, been assured of, to know that we can teach others also. Help us to be ones willing to grow in the meat of the Word of God, not just stuck in the milk of it. We'll be careful to praise you and thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things.